Welcome and thank you for joining us today for MPC, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where we bring awareness to nonprofit leaders and everyday heroes who are making an impact in our community through their generosity, their purpose, and their impact. Welcome to MPC, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where we highlight nonprofit leaders and everyday heroes who are making a difference in our community through their purpose, their passion, and their generosity. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I invite you to join our conversation today as we learn how our guests are making a difference, and you can learn how you can make a difference as well. You know how when you're on an airplane and the flight attendant will remind you to put on your own oxygen mask before you help others? Well, that same advice can be applied as well in navigating some of the challenging situations that we encounter in life. Maybe you have a child or a sibling who is trying to manage a mental health crisis, or maybe you're part of that sandwich generation who's managing kids or grandkids and your parents at the same time. There is something called care for the caregiver mm-hmm. that somebody might want to check into, might be helpful in that scenario. But let's say that your best friend was diagnosed with a terminal disease. This situation is similar, but it might look a little bit different when it comes to friendship support. What tools might help both of you as you navigate through these unfamiliar waters? My guests today have lived experience with this specific situation, and together they created a nonprofit to support people using an interdependent community of care model. My guests today are Alyssa Sagong and Megan Monday, co-founders of Temple of Kinship. Thank you for being here today.
Jill, thank you so much for having us. It's a thrill to be here.
You are certainly welcome. Yes, you guys are besties and you've got great stories to share. But why don't we start first by you explaining, for those that may not be familiar, who and what is Temple of Kinship?
Temple of Kinship was born as a place to offer free to attend retreats for people living with stage 4 metastatic breast cancer, like me, and their best friends. Megan, mm-hmm. we knew, and research shows that healing really does happen in community. And so we took that idea and created a community care model to provide support both for the people living with cancer and their friends.
And the two of you together came up with this idea for how you put together the Temple of Kinship. And we're going to get into that in a little bit, mm-hmm. little bit more deeper dive. But tell us initially where the idea came from.
Sure. Well, it started from a couple of sources, I think, but one of them was I attended a retreat for people living with breast cancer, which was wonderful. And two things really stood out to me. It was a retreat where people who had had early stage breast cancer and were now considering themselves survivors and people with stage 4 metastatic breast cancer. We were all there together. And I noticed that for the early stage survivors, those of us with stage 4 cancer were sort of their worst nightmare come true before them. And so it was a little bit isolating for the people with stage 4 cancer. And the other part was, it was a wonderful experience and everybody had a great time. But as it came to an end, people had a lot of grief about going back to what they described as their real life. And I thought, oh, but this is my real life yeah. right now. And I know that when you put Megan and I together, we could brainstorm a way to create a retreat that would help create tools that together friends could pull through from their retreat life to their home life. And so we started brainstorming and talking about how could we take these ideas. We looked, did a retreat exist for women with MBC, that's the short form for metastatic breast cancer, and their friends to attend together. And we didn't find anything like that. Mm-hmm. We thought about what would we want? What would we need? Because stage 4 cancer isn't a meal train situation. It's not something with a clear beginning and end. It is hopefully something that is going to last a long time. And it's hard for a long time. And so not only do I need resources, but I think that Megan needs resources too. Mm-hmm. There are existing programs for spouses, for families. And so we were just really looking at that special relationship. I think that when I talk to other people, almost everybody knows right away what I'm talking about, that if they have the chance, who is that person that you can call when things are really challenging? Who do you turn to for help? And this is just another essential relationship in our life that also deserves support and resources.
Well, like you said, you looked for something and it didn't exist. And so I think when you bring two women together that are really passionate about something, look out, because it'll get done, right? You'll make it happen.
That's true. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
So kudos to you for that. How did the two of you become friends and ultimately creative collaborators?
Well, we met in art school, so quite a while ago. We went to art school on the East Coast together and were in some classes, and it wasn't until we both decided to do a semester abroad. So we were in the hallway in this big marble building in Baltimore. And Alyssa really made a proclamation. We were acquaintances before, not close friends.
Okay.
But she made a proclamation that we would go do our adventures, and when we came back, we would be real friends. And it was true because, you know, we had both gone away and had really transformational experiences. So we came back to the school. It was with a different inner context.
You didn't go to the same place to study abroad.
Exactly,
okay, so
right.
separate places. You came back together, back to college,
and then
hooked up again together.
And then the friend groups and the social situations, as well as the, you know, academic context, it's all transformed by our time away at such a, you know, developmentally important time in our lives. So we kind of like looked at each other's notes when we got back. We're like, okay, how is that for you? How is that for me? And that was just the beginning of bonding. And then we started to be collaborators kind of right away after that. So then we were in some classes together. We did film projects together. After we graduated, we traveled together. We made, we did art projects and we made a book. We had a card company. We did all kinds of things.
Wow.
And stayed creative collaborators for the decades.
Always.
Mm-hmm. And have been, you know, ridden beside each other through finding our spouses and motherhood and, you know, the ups and downs of life.
Yeah.
And here we are still making things together.
Yeah. It's a beautiful friendship. I mean, it's, I, two of my besties are no longer here, but they, the bond that we had, the friendship that we created through motherhood, through our spouses, it was, I don't have other friends to that deep a level now. There's something so special and personal about that bond, however you connect. For my besties, it was through our faith, and we just really bonded, and we knew that we were there for each other through whatever happened. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful to see that you guys have that same relationship as well. Alyssa, you shared some statistics with me that were alarming. For example, the number of women under 50 being diagnosed with incurable stage 4 metastatic breast cancer, also called MBC. And the fact that it's rising, and nearly 1 in 3 people diagnosed with MBC exhibit signs of depressive disorder. There's a healthcare model called social prescribing, where professionals prescribe patients to do non-clinical community-based activities like making art, attending cultural events, doing community exercise to address issues of anxiety, depression, and loneliness. Now, Megan and Alyssa, this resonated with you both, this model based on your own lived experience. And so Temple of Kinship leverages some of that same philosophy for your programming. So we're going to take a quick break, but when we return, we'll dive into what that looks like for Temple of Kinship retreats. So don't go away, and we'll be right back.
Milwaukee's philanthropic community is brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. This year, EIG celebrates 30 years of thoughtful growth, personalized service, and community impact. From a kitchen table vision to a boutique wealth management firm, EIG has always put people first, offering transparent advice, fiduciary care, and education that empowers families for generations. To learn more, visit ellenbecker.com.
Welcome back to MPC. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and my guests today are Alyssa Tagong and Megan Monday from Temple of Kinship. So ladies, help us to understand how Temple of Kinship's retreats use this idea of non-clinical community-based care for healing.
Okay, so the first thing is retreats really serve as a third space. So the idea is it's not home, it's not work, but it's this other space that you can have, leave behind the complexities of the things that you're dealing with in your day-to-day life. And for people that are navigating active treatment, they're also able to leave behind a little bit the complexities of clinical care. Mm-hmm. So it's this sort of protected third space that you can go to. Another piece of the model is that bringing a friend with you creates a connective tissue to bring the learnings home. So Alyssa was talking earlier about this idea that all the participants in the first retreat that she went to saying, oh, we have to go back to our real lives. Well, if you bring a friend with you and you're both experiencing these activities and getting the tools to infuse your own practice, and then that friend comes home with you, then you remind each other about, oh, remember this strategy, oh, remember that experience we had. And so it's a way to weave the learnings of this third space back into when you go home to those areas of a little bit more complexity.
Yeah, like an accountability partner.
Yes,
in
exactly.
A way.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah.
Exactly. So the model for what we do when we're at the retreats is we have activities that are based around four pillars. So the first one is community. So that's you're bringing your friend with you, but you're also going to meet new friends on this retreat, a lot of shared experiences in the room. And then the next one is taking that idea of community and kinship and threading it through the other pillars. So kinship with your body. You know, one thing I've learned from Alyssa and her friends that have been navigating cancer is there's this mentality that you have to be at war with your own body. You know, the battle idea with cancer. And I remember Alyssa saying to me a couple years ago, I don't actually want to be at war with my own body. You know, these are my own cells. And I want to find a way to be in kinship with my own body. Hmm. So there's some somatic activities that are very gentle. And they're about inviting acceptance and presence with your own body. The next one is nature. So we both get a lot out of being in nature. And so the retreats all happen in a wild setting, in a natural setting. And so there are activities where you're able to be outdoors often. And forest bathing is one of the activities. So you get to go on walks on your own and sometimes bring a little tool, like a little notebook with you. And so you're interacting with the natural world and getting some support from the natural world. And then the last one is spirit. So it's this idea of, you know, we went to art school, we are artists, we use art practices as therapy for ourselves a lot of the time. So we infused that all throughout. So there's writing activities, journal prompts, there's also visual art activities. We have these very beautiful paints made out of like crushed rocks, which brings in the natural element as well into the art making practice. And so the idea is you're nurturing the inner landscape as well. You're like getting to know yourself through journaling and art making and then sharing with the broader group. And so all of the activities, art, somatic, nature, and then conversations with each other, structured conversations.
Well, so you're talking to us about what are some of the things that you're doing. Tell us again why these retreats are so important.
Yeah, I can talk about that, Jill. I think that, you know, I was originally diagnosed with early stage breast cancer in 2019. And it was a big shock to me. I didn't have any family history, didn't have any of the lifestyle factors. I often meet people who want to ask questions to understand why I got cancer. I think partly to reassure themselves that maybe they won't. But unfortunately, I can't reassure anybody. I don't have any of those genetic markers. But I learned so much at that time that I am 1 out of 8 women that will be diagnosed with breast cancer. And of those of us who are diagnosed with early stage breast cancer, 30% will have a recurrence and become metastatic, meaning that the cancer that started in the breast has migrated to other parts of the body, like the liver, the bones, the brain, lungs. And at that point, it's considered incurable. And so at 41, I found out that the cancer was in my bones, in my liver, and that I would be in treatment for the rest of my life until we find a cure, which we haven't found yet. And so the clinical care and the great care that I get from my doctors is, of course, really, really important. But I think you can imagine that there's a whole other dimension to living with an incurable disease that has difficult side effects and is challenging in every way. And that's the emotional and mental part of living with it. I can't do my job anymore. I had to retire at a young age. And so there's just this whole other dimension that isn't cared for by the hospital system. And I think that for me, I had to build my own set of remedies for that part of managing the disease. And I didn't do that alone. I did that with my family and with Megan. And I think that the reason that Megan is able to be there for me and support me in a really unique way is because she's also taking care of herself. Mm-hmm. And that's really a key. I think women our age we're in the stage of life where career and family, you talked about the sandwich generation, there's so many stresses on us that there's a lot of burnout and a lot of people that are not really tending to all of the things that will give them capacity to be there for each other. And so I think Megan and I have found that we both need to find peace and keep finding it in order then to be able to pick up the phone when the other one is having a hard time and say, tell me about it. Like the whole story, you know, when I know that when Megan asks me how I am, I don't have to say I'm fine. Mm-hmm. I can tell her the real story and she can handle it because of that. And so that really bridges into why we're doing what we're doing is that we hear this story from other women. When they apply to our retreats, a lot of times the women with cancer say, I think my best friend's in some denial about the seriousness of my disease. And I don't feel like I can really talk to her about it because I don't want, she's got so much on her plate. Yeah. I don't know if she can handle it. Mm. And I want help with that.
Yeah.
And to be clear, we don't spend 5 days on a retreat talking about death. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of fun and we laugh a lot, but we need to tend to all those aspects of our humanity in order to find within us the capacity to really be there for ourselves and for each other.
And what I find so beautiful is that piece that you're supporting each other. So someone might say, well, you, Alyssa, need a lot of support from Megan, but it goes both ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you might be dealing with something, albeit totally different, but mm-hmm. you're still dealing with something, whatever that stressor is. And you, Alyssa, can sometimes, let's say, we have to be talked off the cliff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is we're going through, we've all had those situations, and we need that bestie to really be there for us for whatever it is we're dealing with. So yes, you're getting support from one of your BFFs, but you are also getting support from your BFF. And I just think that that's so wonderful and so needed. And I thank you for sharing your story, because I say all the time on this show, and I've done some very difficult and emotional shows, but we say we're not trying to sweep anything under the rug. We're saying, yes, this exists. Mm-hmm. And yes, we're dealing with this. But look at the beauty that has evolved as a result. And I don't mean to downplay any situation. I'm just saying, look at the beauty that has come out of this situation and how you can help others that are in a similar situation.
It's a highly reciprocal relationship. And what Alyssa was talking about in terms of creating capacity, you know, we stretch each other and we accommodate each other and we push each other in and outside of this project.
Right.
You know, so we have the elastic muscle that we've developed over decades together and applied it here to help other people try to build that capacity in their relationships as well. One of the things that we talk a lot about in retreats is the idea of the paradox of grief and joy. And if you don't sit with the grief and actually feel it, then you narrow your capacity to experience joy, because it's the same idea of one emotional space pushes you out, which creates room for the next to push you into joy. So a lot of our prompts and writings and reflections deal with this idea of paradox and trying to hold both of those things at once.
Well, so the things that you're talking about, I'm like, everybody can benefit from that. So my question would be, are your retreats only offered to those that are struggling with cancer, or do you open up retreat? I mean, Temple of Kinship is specifically for that. I see that. But I guess my point is, what you're talking about, everybody can benefit from.
Well, you know, we had this, you know, pair come to our retreats, and I think people, when they first learn about the retreat, they think, oh, I'll go to support my friend who has cancer. And so they go, and then they realize, oh, wait, they do the activities, something kind of cracks open. So we had this one pair who came, and the friend was skeptical of woo, was what she said, you know, just a little bit like, okay, some of these art things, I'm not quite sure. But she did them. She loved them. And when she left, she reflected back that she had been on the treadmill so hard and so long that she hadn't taken the moment herself to realize, was she building the life that she wanted? Was she taking the time to cultivate these different aspects of herself and be present with her friend and be present with herself?
Yeah.
And so she made some changes when she got back.
She put an art studio in her garage. She's a lawyer.
Okay. Yeah. So these services are like taking root and they're spreading to those that, I mean, the wonderful thing about that, if you think about it, is how she was impacted. Now she's going to go talk to somebody. Yeah. And now she'll go tell somebody about this, and somebody else will be that wasn't necessarily at the retreat, but somebody else is benefiting from these, I don't know if you call them modalities or, you know, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So talk to us a little bit more about how you measure the impact. Let's talk impact.
I love to talk impact.
We'll probably be here all day long talking about impact.
We could, but also I like a little data, Jill. I mean, I love good data. Survey. And so, you know, Megan and I, we like building things together. We like creating together, but we actually want to know, is this good outside of our own opinions?
Yeah. Sure.
You know?
How do you know that what you're doing is working?
Yeah. I mean, we'll put our energy into something else if it's not working. And so I really quickly connected with an amazing nurse scientist, and her whole area of research was about caregiver bonds in chronic illness. And so I thought, this is a great person for me to talk to about how do we tell if we're doing a good job? How do we ask the right questions? And she was so excited because she had never encountered a project like this before. I thought she would maybe give us like one of her students to work with, but she personally volunteered to help us build the evaluation process for our retreats. Mm-hmm. And so she built a pre-retreat and post-retreat survey and also did interviews with participants. And so that's what we use now to look at, well, what changed? What happened as a result of this 5-day intervention? And so, so far to date, the areas that we've seen the most change is in an increased comfort with using writing and art to process thoughts and emotions, feeling more connected to and appreciative of one's own physical body, and then having the tools and practices to support well-being and feeling connected to the natural world. So some of the things that you heard Megan talking about in terms of what we prioritize, that's built into the goals of what we hope people are walking away with. You know, it's also storytelling and hearing stories like the pair that Megan talked about that made some changes when they went home and felt more able to support each other in a really honest and vulnerable way. And it's hearing those stories from the friends and keeping in touch with them over time. And, you know, some of the things are very intangible to data, like watching the group that had attended a retreat together come together and collectively support one of the friends to fly across the country to be with her friend while she was at the end of her life. These are things that you can't put a number on.
Right, right. But so important to tell those stories.
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody might be listening that is saying, asking that exact question, how do we know that what Temple of Kinship is doing is working?
Mm-hmm.
And not only do you have the metrics, the analytics, whatever you want to call it, the data to support it, you also have the stories, which I think, coupled with the stats, is a really great way to tell your story. A lot of really great things that you guys are doing. And again, it's just beautiful for you to be able to share this awesome friendship that you have and how you're supporting each other. My question for you, Megan, would be, has and how has your relationship changed since Alyssa's cancer diagnosis?
Well, it's similar to the story that I just shared about the pair in some ways, actually. I think you get really aware of presence, the importance of presence, because nothing's promised.
Mm-hmm.
You get really aware of time. So I think that's encouraged me to be more present with Alyssa and be more present in my own life as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there's a lot of waiting that happens in the middle of life. You know, you're like, I'll do that when I retire. Or,
sure.
You know, I remember thinking when Alyssa started going to retreats, I was like, maybe when I'm a retired lady, I'll go to retreats, you know? And then it was like, oh, actually, I'm living my life right now. And I'm clearly, you know, focused on being a good friend, being a good mom, being a good spouse, my, you know, career and impacts. But I didn't quite have the, oh, remember to appreciate everything mm-hmm. in the present at the now speed, basically.
Yeah. The immediacy of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and not that you're responding to every little thing that comes your way, but you're understanding, perhaps prioritizing reprioritizing.
And that's another prioritizing, right? You know, everybody, you get caught up in all of the little
stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All the minor annoyances.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you the perspective to be like, that's a minor annoyance.
Yeah.
That is not a catastrophic event.
Right. You know? Yeah. Let's put things in perspective. Mm-hmm. Right. And this question, I guess, could be for both of you. We talked about a lot of different things today in terms of the support and the services. But do you have any closing thoughts for our audience? Anything that you really want to emphasize?
You know, I mentioned to you before we started recording that in my hallway, there's a stack of boxes of supplies because we have a retreat coming up. And as I'm getting ready, as I'm looking at the applications of the people who are going to be at this retreat, I really just feel so much gratitude for the community of care that has made this work possible. I'm doing this as a volunteer, and we are able to provide these incredible experiences at a really beautiful retreat space, Wild Rice Retreat in Bayfield, because donors have said, this matters, and these people matter, and have been so generous to make it free to attend. Metastatic breast cancer has a lot of challenges, but one of the big ones is financial toxicity. You know, to be in your 40s and not be able to work and live on Social Security, you can't afford to go on a five-day vacation at a fancy resort on Lake Superior. And so it was really important to me when we started this that these be free to attend. I don't want people choosing whether or not they can afford healthy food or go on a retreat. It's and even for those people with MBC that are still working, they know that they're preparing for a future where they may not be able to work as long as they thought they would. And so I just feel so grateful for the community of people that have decided that this is important to support.
Did you have any thoughts, any more thoughts, Megan, as we close?
I think the last thing is just, I hope people hear my story of moving into more presence and the people that have been in the retreat, and do that with their people too, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. If somebody's listening and they are moved, inspired, impacted in some way as a result of your story, what is the best way that they can support you? You talked about the fact that you want these retreats to be free. So is the best, if I were to ask you what your greatest need is right now, would it be funding? And if so, how can someone, if they would like to support you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Oh, thanks for asking. We have a beautifully new redesigned website, www.templeofkinship.org, and people can donate online. They can donate by mail, gifts of stock, matching employee matching funds from their employer, all the ways.
Okay. So they would just reach out
absolutely.
At the website. Okay. Wonderful. Well, thanks for visiting with us today, Alyssa and Megan, and sharing your special relationship and again, how you support each other. And thank you for all the ways that you help those people that are have been diagnosed with cancer, and also for those friends that are walking alongside them through that journey. So thank you for being here, and thank you for telling your story today.
Thanks so much, Jill.
You're very welcome. I encourage you, our listeners, to stay tuned, because every Thursday morning we drop a new episode sharing how a wonderful nonprofit is making a difference in the community. And then you as well can learn how you can make a difference through your time, your talents, or your resources. And as always, I encourage you, whether you're at home, at work, or out in the community, to find a way to be a blessing and give a blessing. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. If something in today's conversation resonated with you, share it with a friend or family member. And if you haven't already, subscribe so you never miss an episode. At Ellen Becker Investment Group, we believe education and community impact go hand in hand. That's why we love bringing you thoughtful insights from leaders and organizations who care deeply about making a difference in Milwaukee and beyond.
Please note, this podcast is intended for general informational purposes and to highlight philanthropic efforts in our community. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellen Becker Investment Group employees and leaders. For more resources, visit ellenbecker.com. We'll see you next time.